Good morning, church. Good morning, mission friends. As most of you know, I was your delegate this week to the Evangelical Covenant Church's annual meeting. Yes, the Evangelical Covenant Church. It will no longer be referred to as the ECC. That abbreviation was voted out. And we also are supporting Covenant Global Missions, not World Missions. Just some minor things along with all the other business that was conducted, which I will report on at the July quarterly meeting. It was a full 3 days of business honoring individuals, worshiping. About two-thirds of the delegates were actually in Kansas City, and about one-third of us were virtual participants. I believe now that they've done that way, they will continue because the covenant administration or leaders appreciate the accessibility that provides. So many people cannot attend because of traveling issues or financial issues or time issues. So the virtual option really enables more people to participate in the annual meeting. The theme this year was above all else, from Romans 12:12. Above all else, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Everything we do and every decision we make is for God's glory and neighbor's good. Further with God, deeper in mission. Those are the touch points that we are reminded regularly of why we do what we do and help us focus on the Lord. Some of the announcements this morning, they're in your bulletin, but please join us after the service for coffee downstairs. Next week, Daniel Tristman will be preaching again, and he was here a couple weeks ago, very energetic, and I think that with each individual that God is bringing us this summer, we are going to be blessed in different ways. The church council is meeting on the 13th, and the quarterly business meeting is on the 24th, and I hope that you will make an effort to be present, as not only do we want to share that information, but we'll need a quorum. And then finally, if you came in the back door, I'm not sure if there's one in the front, but there's an announcement about the Georgia Peach Sale, which takes place next end of the week. What, honey? Okay, good. It's June 30th to July 2nd at Our Savior's Lutheran Church from 9:30 to 6:30. And the peaches, of course, support YFC, but they're also pretty good for us. Okay, can I ask you to stand as we read the call to worship responsively? I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord.
I will remember your wonders of old.
I will meditate on all your work.
And muse on your mighty deeds.
Your way, O God, is holy. You are the God who works wonders.
You have displayed your might among the peoples.
Remain standing for hymn number 299, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning to worship you and praise you, bring these words to mind regularly from your word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Words to live by. Amen. You may be seated. Our first lesson this morning, our first scripture reading, is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. It is the freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, against such things there is no law. Therefore, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified in the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And our gospel lesson this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, Do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, Follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, No one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is no one who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. The word of the Lord. As we prepare to give our gifts and offering this morning, remember that if you have a prayer request, you can give it to the usher and we can pray during our morning prayer. O God, our offerings proclaim that work and worship are one, that life is undivided. Use these gifts for your church's ministries of reconciliation, service, and mercy. Amen. The usher will come forward. You may be seated. Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts this morning as we come to you with praise and thanksgiving, anxious to hear the word that you have for us today, and bless us and keep us as we do your will during the course of our days and weeks. We thank you, Lord, this morning and praise you for the leadership of the Evangelical Covenant Church, for the inclusion that they have and the motivation to be in your will and following you, and how that passes down to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that we have been able to schedule people to fill up our pulpit. And as I said earlier, we are eager to learn from each one of those individuals. I know you have a word from them to us regarding the future. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the people in the military that we have connection with. We are grateful for those who are willing to serve and have served our country. We pray, Lord, today for safe travels for those who are enjoying family and friends and events over this weekend and the course of the summer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor Dennis and Mary and their ministry among us. And as they have moved to their new home this week, we pray your blessing on them as they get organized and settled and integrated into their new community. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for the individuals that we are aware of who are facing health issues, Lord. Some of them are on particularly difficult journeys, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with them and that you would bring them to our minds often so that we can maintain a blanket of prayer around them and perhaps even show us tangible ways that we can offer them support. Thank you, Lord, for the candidates who were ordained last night into the Covenant Church, and we offered continued prayers as they approach their ministries in a new and fresh way with their education and the blessing of the seminary staff. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for keeping us safe during the course of the week, for the fact that we are living in turbulent times, but we are not experiencing the turbulence that so many places around the world face. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bring people to those areas to support them and bless them and help them, and show us ways that we can do the same. At the very least, lifting them up in prayer, Lord. People who are experiencing war, famine, weather issues, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would be with them and with us as we pray for them. Now, dear Lord, we thank you, and we offer prayer for Scott as he comes to share your word with us this morning. We are so grateful. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, hymn number 376, When We Walk With the Lord. Thank you. journal back. And now this morning, we will hear from Pastor Scott Nellis. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. It's good to be together as God's people, and it is good to worship the Lord, who is so good to us. You know, my wife and I, we have known Dennis and Mary for many years. In fact, our friendship goes way back to our years in seminary together. And when I retired last year, when we moved to the Iron Range, we thought, oh good, we'll be a lot closer to them and we'll be able to spend more time together. And here he retires, they pack up, they move to Winona. So much for being closer together. And I know how much that they loved you as a congregation. And I know how much you love them. They're going to be missed. There are a lot of changes you're facing right now in your life and ministry together. There are going to be a lot of challenges that lie ahead as you begin that search process for a new pastor. But remember this, as you pray, as you trust, and as you obey, God will provide for you every step along the way. You can count on that. You can count on Him. After all, He is your ultimate shepherd. So in light of Pastor Dennis's retirement, thank you for this opportunity to come and share with you. Just a story. There was an older couple that walked into McDonald's one day. The wife went and she sat at a table while the husband went up to the counter to order. He ordered one hamburger, one order of French fries, and one soft drink for both of them. Took the food back to the table, sat down. He took the hamburger, divided it in half. He took half, gave half to his wife. Took the French fries, divided them in half. He took half, gave half to his wife. Took a sip of the soft drink, handed it to his wife. She took a sip, set it down on the table between the two of them. All the while this was happening, there was a younger couple sitting next to them, watching and whispering. Oh, look at that poor couple. Isn't it a shame? They can only afford one meal between the two of them. Well, the older man starts eating his hamburger, and as he's eating the hamburger, young man next to them gets up, comes over to their table, and asks if he could buy them another meal. No, thank you, said the old man. We're fine. We're used to sharing everything. So the young man turned around, went back, and sat at his table. A couple of minutes later, as the man is eating his French fries, the young man gets up again, comes to their table. Are you sure you won't let me buy you another meal? This time it's the wife who said, no, thank you. We're fine. We're used to sharing everything. 5-10 minutes go by, and the husband has finished eating, but the young man noticed the wife hasn't even started eating. She's just been sitting there watching her husband eat. So he gets up again, goes over to their table, and he says, what's the matter? Why aren't you eating? What are you waiting for? The old woman replies, I'm waiting to share his teeth. You know, there are just some things in life that you don't want to share. But when it comes to the good news of Jesus, that's something we need to share. It's something that people need to hear. And I just thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to share that good news with you this morning. For my text, I've chosen the Gospel of John, chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible and you want to turn there, follow along. And I am going to read just verses 1 through 9. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you. You are an amazing God who loves us so much. And in your love for us, you've given us your word to guide us, to change us, to remind us of who you are, who we are, and what your plans and purposes for our lives are. Lord, we pray right now, your Holy Spirit would work in us so that we hear your word, and then upon hearing it, become doers of your word. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Another story for you. The story is told of a man who went to the store to buy a suit. He told the clerk exactly what he was looking for, and the clerk said, "I've got just the right suit for you. And here's the thing, it only costs $30. Well, when the man heard it only cost $30, he got excited and he tried the suit on. But he was a little disappointed to discover that the suit didn't quite fit right. "Look," he said to the clerk, "the left sleeve is longer than the right sleeve." "Well, that's why this suit is such a bargain," said the clerk. "Here's what you do. Just raise your right shoulder up a little bit like this. Tuck the lapel under your chin like this, and it'll fit just fine." "But look," said the man, "the left leg is way too short." "No problem," said the clerk. "Just bend your knee a little bit and walk like this. Nobody will even notice. After all, where are you going to get a suit like this for only $30? Well, the man thought about it a bit. He bought the suit. He put it on. He raised his right shoulder up like this, tucked the lapel under his chin, raised his left knee a little bit, and started limping out of the store to his car. Just then, two doctors happened to walk by and see him. "Oh my," said the first doctor, "look at that man. Must be hard going through life with a disability like that." "Yes," said the second doctor, "but doesn't his suit fit great?" Well, in our scripture passage for this morning, we're told about a man who had a real disability, one which for all practical purposes rendered him helpless. He was unable to walk, which meant he was unable to work, which meant he was unable to take care of himself. He was totally dependent upon others to meet his needs. And the worst part of it was he had suffered with this disability for some 38 years. Imagine that. Imagine the feelings of helplessness and hopelessness that he must have carried around inside of him. Imagine the sense of shame and humiliation surrounding his condition. And then comes this day, when he has this encounter with Jesus, and everything changes. His life is no longer the same. Let's take a closer look at this text. We're told here that Jesus met this man in Jerusalem by the pool of Bethesda. This was a large pool of water, about 480 feet long by 160 feet wide. And it served as a major source of water for the city. The pool was surrounded by a series of colonnades or covered porches, which offered protection for those who gathered there. And in Jesus' day, it was especially known as a gathering place for those with all kinds of diseases and disabilities. They came there because they thought that the water had healing powers. John tells us in verse 3 that among them were the blind, the lame, the paralyzed, including this paralyzed man in our text. Now, if you look in your Bible, you may see a footnote after verse 3 that some manuscripts include a fourth verse. And that, again, tells us why these people were here. Those who came to the pool waited for the moving of the waters. From time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the waters. The first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease he had. That was the tradition. That's what they believed at the time. And that's why this paralyzed man was here waiting. By the way, as an aside, this incident that John tells us here about in his gospel is proof of the truth and reliability of Scripture. This is the only place in the Bible that mentions Bethesda, and for centuries its location was unknown. That led critics of the Bible to say that this was a made-up place and a made-up story. They argued that John was only speaking here symbolically about this place, that this incident never really happened. But then something interesting happened in the 19th century. There was some excavation work taking place in Jerusalem around the Sheep Gate. And during that excavation, they uncovered the ruins of this pool. Friends, God's word is true. It is powerful, and you can depend on it and on God. He will never steer you wrong. The Pool of Bethesda was a real place. And in Jesus' day, it was a place of great need and dire hope. It was a place that the helpless came to, longing for and crying out for the healing touch of God in their lives. And that, my friends, is exactly the kind of place where you would expect to find Jesus, isn't it? As you read through the Gospels, you see that Jesus was always hanging around these kinds of places and these kinds of people. That's the kind of Savior he is. He is a friend to the friendless. He is a helper to the helpless. He is a Savior for lost sinners like you and like me. He's God, reaching out in love to meet our human need with his divine grace. I don't know where you are in your life today, but if you're in one of these places like this of great need and desperate hope, know that Jesus is right there in that place with you. And there's something he wants to do. There's something he can do in your life if you will trust him. Look what happens in this man's life. In verse 5, we're told of his situation. He had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, we don't know the cause of his paralysis, whether he was born that way or whether he contracted some kind of a disease that made him that way or whether he had suffered some kind of injury. All we know that he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And that meant he couldn't get into the water of the pool when it was stirred. Day after day after day, he laid there and waited. And I would imagine the longer he waited, the more hopeless his situation seemed to him. You know, paralysis can take many forms in our lives. It doesn't have to be a physical paralysis that crushes our spirits and robs us of hope. It can be an emotional paralysis. It could be a spiritual paralysis that we're struggling with. It may be some kind of sin in our lives that cripples us and holds us down. It might be anger, bitterness, depression. It may be a failure in our past or some fear we have about our future. Sometimes feelings of worthlessness and uselessness can paralyze us. Whatever it is, we just can't seem to move on or move ahead. We long for things to be different. We long for things to be better. But we're just kind of stuck in that hard place. This man was in a hard place. And then Jesus comes along. He sees the man lying there by the side of the pool. And it's interesting, isn't it? The question that Jesus asks him in verse 6, do you want to get well? Think about that question. Do you want to get well? Don't you think that man wanted to get well? I mean, shouldn't it be obvious? Isn't that why he's there by the pool? Isn't that what he's been waiting for day after day for 38 years? Seems like kind of an odd question for Jesus to ask, doesn't it? But look at how the man answers in verse 7. Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I think his response gives us an indication of what's going on in this man's life. Notice that the man doesn't come right out right away and says, yes, I want to get well. Instead, he makes excuses. Yes, but I'm paralyzed. Yes, but I have no one to help me. Yes, but others get into the pool before me. Yes, but. You see, healing would bring all kinds of changes into his life. Healing would bring with it a whole new set of challenges. If he were healed, he'd have to go back to work to earn an income. If he were healed, he'd have to take responsibility for his family. If he were healed, he would no longer get any sympathy from others. Jesus, with this question, do you want to get well, was inviting this man to a whole new way of life. But the man's answer seems to indicate he wasn't only paralyzed on the outside, but he was paralyzed on the inside. He had grown accustomed to his life the way it was, as hard as it was. He couldn't envision life any differently. He was content to stay where he was, the way he was. Jesus was offering to change him, but perhaps this man didn't really want to be changed. As Jesus came to that man by the pool that day, so he comes to you. And to me on this day, he meets us at our point of need, and he says to us, do you want to get well? Is that what you really want? Do you want me to change your life? Do you want me to deal with your sin? Do you want me to reorder the plans and priorities that you have for your life? Do you really want to get well? You see, getting well
in the spiritual sense means giving up and getting up and walking in faith and obedience with Jesus. He wants to raise us to a whole new level of life. But sometimes, instead of allowing Jesus to take us to that new level of life, we make excuses. Or we blame others for our situation. And we choose to remain where we are. We may say we want to get well, but when it comes down to it, we sometimes don't take those steps of faith and obedience with Jesus that we need to take for that to happen. Throughout my years in ministry, I've had a lot of people come to me with various issues and problems. And they're seeking some help. They want some advice. And they're asking, what can I do? And so I would give them some suggestions, some practical steps to take that would help. And then I would encourage them just to remember that Jesus would see them through. Just trust. Just obey. And many times, some of those people wouldn't follow through on those suggestions. And life didn't change for them. Or if it did change, sometimes it would get worse. And they would just continue to whine and complain about their problems and their situation. You see, when we don't do our part, we're missing out on what Jesus can do in us and for us. William Frey tells of the time that he was a reader for a student in seminary who was blind. The student's name was John. And one day Fry asked him how he had come to lose his eyesight. And John told him that he was involved in a chemical explosion when he was 13. And John told him when that happened, he thought his life was pretty much over. He was angry. He was bitter. He blamed God. He felt helpless. In fact, for the first 6 months after that accident, he pretty much stayed in his room all alone by himself, feeling sorry for himself. And then one day his father came to him and said, John, winter's coming, and we need to get those storm windows up on the house. That's always been your job. So I want you to get those windows hung by the time I get home this evening or else. Then his father turned around, walked out of the room, and closed the door. John couldn't believe what his father had said to him, what his father was asking him to do. He was shocked. He was angry. Doesn't he know who I am? He thought. I'm blind. I can't do this. But he was so angry, he decided to do it. So he managed to feel his way to the garage, found the windows, found the ladder, all the while muttering to himself, I'm going to show him. I'm going to fall off this ladder, and then he'll have a blind and paralyzed son. It took a great deal of effort for John to get those windows up, but he did it. And later on, he came to find out that his father was standing there with him the whole time he was putting those windows up. His father was not more than 4 to 5 feet away. Through that experience, John learned what he could do, even though he was paralyzed. He learned how much his father loved him and that his father had all the best in mind for his life. And through his father's example, he discovered that God still loved him and was with him even in his blindness. His blindness didn't change, but his heart, his attitude, his life changed that day. He stopped making excuses and really started to trust and walk with Jesus. And that's what led him into the ministry. That's what Jesus is really asking this man to do when he asks that question, do you want to get well? He's asking this man to examine his life, to examine his heart, to consider what it is he really wanted and whether he was willing to trust Jesus for the answer. And then comes this clear, liberating command from Jesus in verse 8. Get up. Pick up your mat and walk. So what's the man going to do? How's he going to respond? Well, we see how he responds. We're told that at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This man who hadn't walked in 38 years, when Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk, he did it. He did it. No more hesitations, no more reservations, no more excuses. As impossible as it seemed, he did what Jesus commanded him to do. Even though he didn't know a lot about Jesus at the time, he acted in faith and obedience and was made whole by the grace and power of Christ. Friends, we know a lot more about who Jesus is than this man did. We know that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that he is the maker of heaven and earth. We know that he is the living God. We know that he is the Savior of the world. We know that he loves us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for our sins, that he was raised from death to life to give us eternal life. We know that when Jesus asks us to do something, he will always give us the power to do it. So why should we make excuses? This morning, I want you to picture Jesus coming to you, coming to me, as we sit by the poolside of life. Where in your life is change needed? Is there something in your life that is holding you back from a deeper walk with the Lord? Is there something you need to let go of in order to move on and move ahead in your life and faith? Where is Jesus asking you to trust and obey? Listen to him as he asks you that question. Do you want to get well? And then listen to Jesus say to you, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Don't stay in that place of complacency and hesitancy. Take a step of faith. Allow the power of Christ to lift your life to a new level. And remember that Jesus is with you always, every day, every step along the way. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for your love and care in our lives. We thank you for your grace that has saved us and your strength that sustains us. We thank you that with you all things are possible, that whatever our need is, you have the answer, and you are the answer. In these moments, search our hearts, touch our hearts, change our hearts. Set us free from all of those things that would keep us from a deeper walk with you. In light of the life that you've given us, help us to trust you and obey. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
We'll close our service this morning with hymn number 458, and as you find it, you can stand. Now, if you would turn to one another and sing the blessing for this morning before we take leave.